Shifting on the twig that had wedged its way against her back, her eyes popped open, glancing around. Dancing in the early light, swirls of dust and grass revealed everything to be roughly the same as she had left it. The campfire still flickered, and the figure in the black coat sat reading over his book. Wurr was perched on her, staring out, eyes definitely a little bleary.
"You have, quite the little companion there. I really should get one for myself. Very loyal. Stayed up and watched me all night."
"Yeah, he's something." That was about all she could muster as she stood and slowly stretched, dislodging Wurr enough that he fluttered up and settled in her hood. Loyalty was not a trait she expected from the diviner, especially not for that long on the barren plains. Yet here she was, still alive, and apparently well looked after.
"That must have slowed you down. You could have traveled the night."
"Well, I never mind a little break, even if the bones don't need it the way they used to. And it would have taken time to prepare my magics to their utmost anyway."
"You seem to be in a hurry."
"Yes, well, I'll need to hurry today, but running yesterday moved me along almost enough to make up for it. The Ascendant 8 should be set up by the river, and beginning their investigation of the runoff heading this way. It should be interesting to see what a few hundred years has done to the water. It might almost be pure."
"Pure?"
"Oh, the fluid seeping out of where the city once stood, and all those bodies. Once the decay began with the fall of the Thane, the mass of death all around slowly diffused into the waterways. They claim they saw blood and bile this far down for many, many, many years. There's some interest for Myrtle in setting up a camp down here, and they requested the automata to find out whether the drinking water would be available. I'm curious to see the ramifications of what happened to my old, hated home."
"So, you're headed to the river, then. I suppose we'll be parting ways." As they stood, and the mage stretched, obviously out of habit more than need, the figure gestured at the fire. Collapsing back into the little bead, their camp fell almost to the way it was. Walking on, the figure let the conversation fade for a good ways before jumping back to where it was, clearly mulling over what his response would be.
"Well, you chase me down, then move on. Seems odd, but all right. Where are you headed that led you to chase down a fellow mage?"
"North and west. Are you familiar with the Journeyer rites?"
"No matter. It's a practice of study and learning, finding out about something new. The Northwest is almost unknown to us, since the waters are so dangerous. I'm headed up to see what's actually there, in the old forest, the other side of the mountains."
His reaction was fascinating. She could see both an interest, a joy in knowing about the place, and a darkness. It wasn't anger, but there was a wariness, a worry.
With the two conflicting emotions briefly warring on his face, she almost wondered if she should take the time, follow him up to the river.
His next words suggested that might be in poor taste.
"Oh, well then. That would be quite the endeavor. It's not a place many should go. But I suppose I can't very well stop you if you've traveled this far. Follow the range up, and you'll be all right. Just be sure of your campsite after dark. There are a few of my former, fellows still roaming. I'm sure they would find you edible, if not delectable. If you're in the foothills, you'll be able to see some strange hexagons, giant pillars of rock and metal with flat edges. Definitely unnatural, though why they're there no one knows. I will say, they weren't there before the war. I knew the area well. Those are a pretty good marker for getting close to the heart of the range. Once you get into the range proper, and head west, you'll have a number of valley options.
There's a place there with these, what was your term for them? Other Siders? Yeah, I like that. That fits. There's a place the Other Siders call Once Vale, due to a shroud of mist that sat on it for 200-some-odd years. Anyone who entered the mist was lost, never heard from again. And the automata studied it quite a bit, and helped a few individuals set up a small town outside of it. Mostly the lizard folk, who were the most common in those parts now that the Thane's rule has ended. Though, there are a few of those from across the void. Not mere Tal merchant marines, though. These claim to be independent. Well, for what that's worth. From there, they should be able to direct you to the nearest tribes. The lizard can have a fairly dispersed society, and they move quite a bit. I'd recommend going from tribe to tribe, spending as few nights in the open mountains as you can. I personally haven't found them too problematic, but my, flesh isn't as exactly as tasty as yours. And, well, there are many ancient things left out there. Creatures that have dwelled in relics from before the war. And they've changed. It used to be a nice place, back before I sacrificed myself to cowardice and hid with the Thane. I went hiking there a few times. Got away from the inn for a week or two. Just beautiful. I suppose it's still beautiful in its own way. Just, harder now to walk. So many memories attached. Nodding, she listened to the details he threw in, but found herself, if anything, eager to press on. His walking gait was much slower than her own, now that he wasn't running away. It was fairly clear he wouldn't be making quick progress. Beyond that annoyance, though, she wasn't liking his melancholy, this return to his past. Not to say it wasn't warranted from what the stories she had heard and those she trusted. If anything, he was downplaying the nightmarish place the City of the Dead had been. However, her goal wasn't to help some long-dead soul repent its own guilty mind. Besides, he seemed to be doing all right for himself. Oh, but I'm rambling. You get prone to that once you die. Everything feels like a memory these days. We're about here. You'll want to head up off that way. You'll cross a few streams, though with autumn setting in, they may be dry. And then you should see the first of the mountains. From there, it's easy to navigate. Harder to stay alive. Oh, and don't tread too far out onto the plains. They're behemoths still, and they like to trample those of us with, magical inclinations. This is doubly true with how much the MMM has hunted them. I know your kin dealt with them, but be careful. And on that note, I need to be heading over. If, that is, I want to make the river before morning. Best of luck. Oh, and, here, take this. Just toss and think of a fire. I've got 7, I can spare one. Maybe we'll meet again, and you can tell me of your travels. With that, he tossed her the little bead he had thrown the night before. She caught it reflexively, then almost dropped it, realizing just what she had done and what it might become in her hands. However, the bead stayed a bead, and she nodded her thanks, hoping her surprise hadn't revealed too much shock. He seemed nonplussed either way, and just cheerfully nodded, before turning on his way. She shrugged and headed the way he had pointed, trying to keep the rough path she had decided was the right way. After a few minutes of walking, she felt whir shift in her hood, and words floated in front of her again. Odd fellow, dot, dot, dot. She smirked and nodded as the quith shifted to rest after staying on guard all night. Hopefully her motions wouldn't keep him up too long. She'd need his eyes again soon enough, and there wasn't much to see at this point. For her, it would just be a long day of walking. This has been Guided Path of the Fatal Neutrinos Chimera Saga. These are stories of histories that weren't, futures that mustn't, and places that cannot be. Thank you for listening.
I'm looking at having Wednesdays and Fridays as our episode release days to catch us back up. Look for more coming out very, very soon. Thank you for listening again. As always, this is Easton. Remember, I'm as much a work of fiction as anything you hear.